we're celebrating the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. She has been in power for 60 years, and although it's limited power, and as Matthew is explaining, our in-house historian, who's good at all of this background knowledge and everything, she still is our figurehead, and she is an amazing servant leader, and that is at her heart, is to serve us as a nation. And she's ruled for the 60 years with our nation, the Commonwealth of all the other countries, but also for our armed forces as well. And when they go out, they always say, we're fighting for Queen and country. And it's really important to them to be fighting for their Queen and country. So this morning, we're going to look at the next part of David's life. And the topic we're looking at this morning is honour. And honour is a really important thing for us to take hold of and to grasp. And so we're just going to look at it in the next part of David's life. So firstly, what is honour? And it says in the dictionary that honour is something that gives people, is to give someone a great regard or great esteem and or an outward sign of doing that. So to hold them in great esteem. So there's many people in this room who I hold in great esteem. And one of those people I am going to embarrass now and say it's Margaret Kelly. Do you know, I just absolutely honour Margaret Kelly, and I can see others agree with me. She is such, like, to me, she's such an amazing woman. She quietly gets on with helping her husband when he goes off and travels the world on his missionary journeys. And she is there holding the fort at home, praying for him, encouraging him, getting everything sorted for him, making sure everything's in the right place at the right time. She's up here on a Wednesday helping in the office, taking phone calls. She's helping to care for her family. What a woman. And I just want to say in front of you all, I want to honour our own Margaret Kelly, and she's all red and embarrassed. And that's what it is to hold people with great regard and esteem. And last week, Sarah was telling us about Jonathan and David and their friendship and relationship together, and how Jonathan helped David escape from Saul. And now he's on the run, he's off, and he's gone to hide in some caves. And this is where we're going to meet up with David. And I'm going to read to you 1 Samuel 24. After Esau returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men. Notice they are elite troops. They are good. They are the best. And at the place where the road passes from sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding further back in that very cave. Now that is a bit unfortunate. Could you imagine going into a cave, having to relieve yourself? And there you are, in the back, a whole group of men hiding. Yeah, I wouldn't like it if it was me. It's not a good start. And then it says that, now's your opportunity, David's men whispered to him. Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy in you to your power to do with as you wish. So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began to bother him because he had cut Saul's robe. The Lord knows I shouldn't have done that to my lord the king, he said to his men. The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king and attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him. So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, my lord the king! And when Saul looked round, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day you can see with your own eyes it isn't true, for the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you, for I said, I will never harm the king, for he is the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It's a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I'm not trying to harm you and that I have not sinned against you. Even though you may be hunting me down to kill me, could you imagine Saul's face when he was faced with David and he got it out and said, look what I have in my hand. And there's Saul. Oh my goodness. I'm still alive. He's got part of my robe. It must have been What a moment. And he says, may the Lord judge between us, perhaps. But perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you're trying to do to me. But I will never harm you. As the proverb says, from evil people comes evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power. When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, is that really you, my son David? Then he began to cry, and he said to David, you're a better man than I am. You have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you've been amazingly kind to me today. For when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you've shown me today. And he goes on to ask David to spare his family. And so David promises that he would not do that and that he would spare his family. And then, just a little bit later on, we find out that the same kind of thing happens again. So I'm going to read to you 1 Samuel 26. Now some men from Ziph came to Saul at Geba to tell him, David is hiding in the hill Hakilah, which overlooks Jeshimon. So Saul took 3,000 of Israel's elite troops. Again, they're elite. They are the best of the best. Should have found him in the cave. Didn't. And here we are again. And Saul camped along the road beside the hill of Hakilah, where Jeshimon, where David was hiding. When David learned that Saul had come after him in the wilderness, he sent out spies to verify the report of Saul's arrival. David slipped over to Saul's camp one night to look around. Now remember, it's pitch black. You can't see anything. And there's David going in, looking around Saul's camp with all of his 3,000 elite troops. Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of his army, were sleeping inside a ring formed by the slumbering warriors. Who will volunteer to go in there with me? David asked Ahimelech, a Hittite, and Abishai, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. I'll go with you, Abishai replied. So David and Abishai went right into Saul's camp and found him asleep. Remember, there's a ring of elite troops all around him, and there he is sneaking in to find Saul sleeping. So David and Abishai ran right into his camp with his spear stuck in the ground beside his head. Saul was sleeping. Abner and the soldiers were lying asleep around him. God has surely handed you your enemy over to you this time, Abishai whispered to David. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of a spear. I don't even need to strike him twice. He was so excited. Could you imagine? He's there. Saul's lying on the floor. Look, his spear's there. Just one hit and he'll be gone. So excited. So, and David said, no, don't kill him, for who can remain innocent after attacking the Lord's anointed one? Surely the Lord will strike Saul down someday, or he will die of old age or in battle. The Lord forbid that I should kill the one he has anointed. But take a spear and jug of water beside his head, and then let's get out of there. So David took the spear and jug of water that was there near Saul's head. Then he and Abishai got away without anyone seeing them or even waking up because the Lord had put Saul's men into a deep sleep. David climbed the hill opposite the camp till it was a safe distance. Then he shouted down to the soldiers and to Abner, son of Ner, wake up, Abner! Who is it? Abner demanded. Well, Abner, you're a great man, aren't you? David taunted. Where in all Israel is there anyone as mighty? So you haven't guarded your master the king when someone came to kill him? This isn't good at all. I swear by the Lord that you and your men deserve to die because you failed to protect your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around. Where are the king's spear and the jug of water that lay beside his head? Abner's heart must have sunk. Oh, my goodness. They're not there. They're over there. It's not a good sign. He could have had his master killed. And how horrible those that have been for him. Saul recognized David's voice and called out, is that you, my son David? And David replied, yes, my lord the king. Why are you chasing me? What have I done? What is my crime? But now let my lord the king listen to his servant. And then he went on to tell him how he isn't chasing after him again. And he was saying that you've stopped me from being in the place of worship with my family. And I want to go home and let God judge again between us who was right and who was wrong. And this is Saul's response. I have sinned. Come back home, my son, and I will no longer try to harm you, for you have valued my life today. I've been a fool and a very, very wrong. And then he gives the spear back, and David goes off on his way. He doesn't go back with Saul, I think wisely, since Saul's already changed his mind once. And off he went, and Saul returned home and didn't chase him again for the rest of his life. Now, they are two incredible stories, aren't they? And just to think of David's opportunity then and what could have happened and how Saul's response as well, what an amazing thing. But for me, the question that really we've got to ask is, why didn't David kill Saul when he had the chance? He was going to be the future king. He was going to be there. Why didn't he do it? And you could see his men really wanted him to, but David said no. And we have to look at David and his response. And he understood that Saul was God's anointed one, that he was appointed by God. And this is at the heart of why David did not do anything. And everything that he said towards Saul when he approached him and told him at the end that what he was doing, that was the reason why. And he understood who God is and what God is about. He understood, and he was really clear in knowing that because of who God is and the authority that God has over the world, over creation, over everything, that he knew that to touch one of God's anointed ones was just an absolute no-no. Because if he touched him, if he touched Saul, he was also touching God's authority. Because God's authority is all authority. And Watchman Nee, and said in his book, Spiritual Authority, it explains that all authority comes from God, and it is God's. And he chooses who he's going to put that authority on. It's not the person's choice. It's God's choice because it's his authority. And whoever has authority in this world, whether it's Saul, whether it's the queen, whoever it might be, that God has chosen that person to put his authority on. It's his authority. And David absolutely fully understood that. And whatever he thought of Saul's behaviour, and clearly it wasn't right behaviour, and the actions that he had, it still didn't give him the right to touch the Lord's anointed one. And to choose to do that, he knew that he would be dishonouring God, that he would be coming against God's anointing. And in all of this, he even knew it wasn't even his place. He might have been going to be the future king, but he knew it was up to God. It was up to God to decide when Saul was going to die, not up to him. He could have killed Saul. It was well in his capability. Twice, elite troops. It was no match to David and his mate, who just wandered in the middle of the night, had a look around, swiped his spear from the ground. There was no match. It was right in his taking. But actually, he said it wasn't his right. And however bad Saul was being, he knew that actually it's not about Saul. It's about God. And I honour God and his authority that he's decided to place on Saul. And David had to take responsibility for his own actions. And he honoured God and he honoured the anointing. And like I said, David was going to be the future king, and he does become the future king. And could you imagine if he had gone through with it? He would have had that blood on his hands. And David didn't want to become king through rebellion. If he had done it, he would have been rebelling against God and God's authority. But actually, he wanted to become king as a pure king right before God. His heart was so for God. He understood who God was so much that he knew that it was more important to be obedient to God than to sort Saul out. And because he was anointed, that's why he did it. And he knew, and that's why when it says he went over and he cut the thing off his robe and his conscience came to him and he felt bad and it came really quickly. It was like he cut it, took hold of it and thought, oh no, what have I done? And he said, while he was after that, he was saying, the Lord knows I shouldn't have done this to my Lord the King. The Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord the King and the Lord and attack the Lord's anointed one. For the Lord himself has chosen him. He knew, like, killing him was really bad. But to actually touch him, to cut that, that was really bad as well. His conscience straight away attacked and said, actually, I shouldn't have even touched the robe. He is the anointed one. I shouldn't have done that. And he knew that it was a dangerous thing to rebel against God. And throughout this story, we've seen how dangerous it is to rebel against God. If you want to look through it again and have another look at that, that is up to you. But he had a deep sense of honor towards Saul because he was God's chosen one. Because of who he was, because of the position that God had put him in, he knew it was a serious, serious thing to even touch the Lord's anointed. And later on, it talks about when Saul does actually die, and Saul's in battle, and they start to get overtaken, and he's seriously injured, and he's probably got arrows sticking in him, and he's really hurt, and he can't keep going, and he decides it's better that I kill myself than have the enemy kill me. So he decides to fall on his sword and he tries to kill himself. And when these soldiers realize that he's dead, he kills himself as well. And later on, an Amalekite boy comes over and explains to David what happens. And he says, well, he was there and he was so injured. I knew he wasn't going to live much longer. And he asked me to kill him. So I did. And this is David's response. Why were you not afraid to kill the Lord's anointed one? David asked. Then David said to one of his men, kill him. So the man thrust his sword in the Amalekite and killed him. You have condemned yourself, David said, for you yourself confessed that you killed the Lord's anointed one. It's a serious thing, is it not? He knew that it was wrong to kill someone who was anointed by God because it's not him, it's God's anointing. It's going against God's anointing. It's rebelling against God himself. So David took it extremely seriously, and he understood the importance of it. And David's respect of the position of the kingship really set the tone for when he became king in the future, which happens in not so distant future, and we'll be finding out about that. And you can see that because of his respect for God and God's anointing, you can see how that helped him in his reign and this help that he had with that. So what is it that we can learn from David for our own lives as well? Well, to be honest, we're probably not going to kill any leaders in the near future, are we? But I would hope not. But it's still wrong to touch the garment. And this is what we're going to look at. And we can see that it is important to see that authority in today's world is important as well. It's the same authority that was given to Saul, the same authority that stands now because it's God's. And it says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 3, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks to them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that can we live in peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So there, it quite clearly says that we're to pray for people in authority. And these people are the government that we are under now. Now, regardless of where we are with our government, thinking of whether we're Labour, Conservative, whatever it is, what we do need to know is we need to abide by the laws. And this is something that we're instructed to do by the Bible. The Bible tells us to honour our leaders, to honour government, and do what is said. And even when Jesus was approached Pharisees. Pharisees. A little bit different. they questioned him, and he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So again, you can see even in Jesus' life, he was saying, actually, abide by the rules of the law, abide by what government is saying. And Romans 13:1 says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Now, to me, that's pretty clear, isn't it? And we can see, even from like the riots last year, how everything kind of went out the window during that season, that people were fighting the police, everything was going mad, there was chaos, everyone lived in fear, the rules went out the window, there was no honour of anything that was going on, and you could see how destructive that was. And so when you look at a verse like that, and it says that all authority comes from God, you can think, actually, yeah, because it brings calm, it brings peace, and it helps us to live in a world where we're not in chaos and we're not fighting each other and in anger. So you can see how it's so important to honour, whether we agree with them politically or not, to honour those who are in government. And then next, we have a little bit closer to our home, is our in our workplace, offering the authority within work, our bosses, our school teachers, our head teacher, even our tutors at university, all of these people. And it says in 1 Peter 2:13, accept all authority, respect all human authority. So whoever it is, that if they have authority, you are to respect it, because again, it's God's authority. Now, how do we do it? Well, firstly, I would say speak well of them. It's easy, isn't it, when you've got a boss who you don't quite agree with, or you've had a really bad day and they've asked you to do something, and there's your friend, and you're about to have a coffee and have a break, and oh, you'll never guess what he's asked me to do this time. You won't believe it. It's an easy place to find ourselves in. Oh, that teacher, he's rubbish, isn't he? Oh, can you believe that was so boring? I know, I've been there. But, you know, let's look at our attitude towards the people in authority above us. Let's speak well of people. Avoid the office culture of gossip, which is there. It's around us. It's around everywhere. Let's avoid it. Let's be role models in those situations where, when we're there and people may be having a little bit of a moan or a criticism, to say, actually, do you know what? He's worked really hard today, or they've done this today, and to say positive things and to speak highly of them, and to show people, because of the lifestyle that we choose to live, the honour of lifestyle, that it speaks to them. And it says to do, Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do, as though we were working for the Lord rather than for people. So if we have this attitude going into all the work that we do, actually, the authority that your bosses have is the authority of God anyway. So in reality, this is what's happening. We are working for God. And so do what's asked of you faithfully and well, not half-heartedly, but well. Give it everything you've got. When you fulfill the commitments that have been given to you, you've been asked to do something, do it, and do it on time. It's one of those straightforward things, but sometimes it's really hard to do that. If you said you'd be somewhere, be there. Don't take the better option. Be and do what you've been asked to do. And do your homework. If you have to do homework, let's get on and do it. I know it's not nice. I know it's not easy, and you'd rather be doing something else, but it is worth it. Do your homework. And it's the everyday decisions, everything that we do in our day-to-day lives, that can show honour to our bosses and people authority, and that speaks to other people as well. And then we come to the church. And it says in Hebrews 13:17, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. So firstly, how do we honour our leaders? Well, it says to make it easy for them, to do it with joy and not sorrow. So let's make it easy for leaders to be able to lead. Like for church, we're in this together, and we want to do this together. So to make life easy by honouring leaders and the leadership that there's here is a really good place to start. And as we do that, it's recognising that God is in charge of the church. The church belongs to Jesus, but he has delegated the authority to the leaders of the church. And it says right there, and they are accountable to God. so you can be assured that they are accountable to God. Now, this is a serious thing, and it's not something to be taken lightly. And it says here, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you your spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other." And at the end of the day, elders are here to serve the church. Like the Queen, and all that she stands for is about being a servant leader. That's exactly the same as elders. We're here to serve. The small group leaders are here to serve. The children's leaders, the youth leaders, all the leaders that we have in the church, they're here to serve. And they just deserve the honour because of God. It's God's authority that's on them. And they and elders are given authority to make decisions on behalf of the church, and given authority to bring correction and discipline as well when needed, amongst many other things. It's a rather big list. And I can tell you now, this responsibility isn't taken lightly. I want to go back to, we will give an account to God. And that's a serious thing. And it's not taken lightly, but God has trusted them with his authority. And it's his, absolutely his. And how do we respond? Well, we respond with respect, with obedience, working with them and alongside. That, again, we're in this together. It's about us working together to build a church that has the vision and values of God right at the centre, to build a community where we're in relationship with each other and have friendships that are real and honest and good, but also one that invites people in, that we're not just this little cosy group that doesn't have people in, but actually all is invited. And what a great place to be, what a great place to be part of. But God is at our centre, saying, you know, it's all about him. It's all about him. So I would say be faithful in our actions. And again, to speak well of our leaders, of all of our leaders. And it says, again, Watchman Nee, he explains, to speak or act against them is to do the same to God, as it's his authority. So if we speak badly against one of our leaders, it's saying we're speaking badly against God, because it's God's authority. Again, that's like, takes me back. I think, oh my goodness, that's really serious. So, and David recognized that in his life, and you can see that through what he did and how he lived, that he took that seriously. And it's about God. It always comes back to God. And then it says this in 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession." So let's honour each other. It's not just about honouring leaders and honouring authority. It's about honouring each other as well. We are all equal. There's no one person better than the other. We're all, like I said, we're all in it together. And as Christians, we are all anointed and we are all chosen by God. So let's speak well of each other, let's help each other, let's get alongside each other, and let's help each other out. And for me, like my dad, he is like one of the kindest men I know. He always speaks well of people. I can't even remember of him speaking badly about anyone. He helps people who are in need. He comes alongside people. It doesn't matter who they are. There he is helping them. And he always speaks well, which makes me think he gets this, which is a really good thing. And finally, we've got our home life, and there's my dad there. How lovely. We've got our home life, and how we treat our husbands and wives, our children, our parents. We're called to honour each other, and it says in Deuteronomy 5:16, "Honour your father and your mother," one of the Ten Commandments. And as a young boy, David did that. He understood that, to honour his father and his mother. As a young boy, he was obedient to his father. He went out and he took care of the sheep. He was out there on the fields, day in, day out. He took his job so seriously that he even killed lions and bears. I mean, that is taking a job seriously for a young lad, isn't it? To be obedient to his father in that way. But at the same time, it's like he already understood the authority was God's authority as well. While he was out there on the fields, he didn't just sit around doing nothing. He wrote psalms, he thought about God, he started to get to know who God was. And I don't know if it was as he looked at creation even that he thought, well, God created all of this by his word. This was made. The authority of the spoken word coming from God. That is amazing. And was it that that made him realize just how big and awesome and how much authority God had, that even the world was created by his words? I don't know. I mean, it amazes me. But it's an amazing thing that even then he could understand that it was God's authority and that was important, and which is why when it took to him killing Goliath, he was so angered and convicted that he was coming against God. How dare he speak to you like that? How dare he speak against my God in that way? Already a young lad standing in front of a big giant got God's authority. He had it. He understood. And I want to say, it's never too early to start. It's never too early to start getting to grips with who God is, with how big he is, how awesome he is, but also his authority and what that means for our lives and how we treat each other. And to be honest, I'm around toddlers quite a lot at the moment, and they're great. And I have my own very old 2.5-year-old nearly. And training children is an interesting job. And toddlers can be cheeky, they can have their own little will, they want to do what they want to do. But you know, it's up to us to help teach them obedience, to help teach them to honour us as parents, not to think that they're going to get their own way all the time. And it's a journey, and it's good fun. And I run Little Rascals with Hannah Brown on a Tuesday. If there's any mothers here who have any toddlers, Tuesday afternoons, 1 till 2:30, we have a toddler group up here. You're more than welcome to join us, not on this week, but next week. Little plug there. So at Little Rascals, it's really great to see us all as mums trying to train our children and help our children to become adults, and part of that is to honour their parents, to do what their parents say, to respect their parents. And we've seen and watched each other try and do that with each other, and it's really good fun. And we learn from each other, we ask each other questions all the time. And it's important that how we speak to each other as adults, as husbands and wives, and how we speak to our parents and how we speak to our children at home is incredibly important. And when they see, when we create that culture in our home, it helps children to understand the importance of honouring leaders and honouring authority. So when we do it at home, they can see it at work, so that when they go out there, they can see how important it is beyond that. But also to really help them to see God's authority in that as well as Christians. When we do this, to say, well, actually, all of this is because of God, and to tell our children, to help them. So I've got a couple of challenges just to give out, just brief ones. So for any teenagers out there or any people who are still living with their parents, can I challenge you? Could you be like David in his response to his parents? Can you be a David in your home, that if you are asked to do something, that you do it? If you are asked to do something you don't want to do, that you do it without having a moan or having a go, that you respect your parents. And at the same time, I have another challenge to all you parents out there. Can we help our children and train them to be like David, to be the Davids, that they get to understand the importance of respect, to understand the importance of honour, to look out for people who are in authority, that they will speak well of them, that they won't gossip, but that actually they'll be in the place where they can really respect people. But beyond that, to really help them to see who God is in all of this, that we can point them towards God and his authority over people and who he has, that we can respect all each other together. So just to finish, we can see from these two stories of David, they're exciting, they're good fun for us to read, maybe not for them at the time. But just how clear it is that when David was honouring Saul, that he was creating the tone for his own kingship. if he refused to disrespect Saul, and because of that, when he became king, he was respected. He was able to stand and say, do you know what? I respected Saul. I didn't kill him. And he could stand in purity before God and know that he was going to continue to honor God and obey God before anything else. And at the same time, let us do the same. Let us honor each other. Speak well and honor our leaders, just like God wants us to, like he's asked us to, and just like David did. So I just encourage you to read those stories again and just to think, what does this mean for my life? What are the things that I need to do in my life so I can be like David? I know that's the questions I've been asking myself as I've been looking at this and studying it. So shall we pray? Lord, I just thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you have complete authority, and how that safe that makes us, Lord. I just thank you for that. And I thank you that you've choose people to give authority to. I thank you for our leaders. And I just pray that you will help us to show honour, that we will honour you by our actions, and we'll honour our leaders as well, Lord. I pray you'll really help us really to understand who you are in all of this as well, Lord, that we will grasp just how big and how awesome you are and how your authority is so important. Like David knew, he knew how important your authority was. I just pray you'll help us to understand that for ourselves. And I just want to say thank you, God. Amen.